From the Land-Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Mark Report. It's Friday, February the 13th, 2009. I'm Todd Gleason. In a few moments, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Chuck Shelby of Risk Management Commodities Incorporated. He's in Lafayette, Indiana. And later in the half hour, we'll discuss the cash grain market with Bruce Bostard, the manager of the Ludlow Co-op Elevator Company. He's out of Ludlow, Illinois. In agricultural news, the House Ag Committee will allow federal regulators to suspend naked credit default swaps. Hey, anything that's naked in swapping is likely a bad deal anyway. And USDA ERS is projecting net farm income in 2009 will be down 20% from last year. Don't cry yet, that's still 9% above the rolling 10-year average. Dave Dickey will have details of these stories shortly. And then I'll introduce you to an Apple 20 years in the making. And it all happens right here on this Friday edition of the Closing Market Report. The Closing Market Report is a production of WILL Public Radio from the Urbana-Champaign campus of the University of Illinois.
This stock and commodity report is made possible with support from Bates Commodities in Normal. Bates Commodities can be reached at 1-800-383-4647 or on the internet at batescom.net.
Taking a look at the numbers as they settled in Chicago on a Friday afternoon. Futures for the soft red at 535.5 in the lead option. That's the March contract. Down 3.25. The May futures at 548.25, down 3.25. In July, we did 560.75, 3 cents lower. September contract, 585, 3.75 lower. March corn futures, 363.25, down 3 cents. The May at 373.25, down 2.75. July at 383.25, 2.25 lower. And September corn at 393.25, down 2.75. December futures at 405.5, down 2.25. And the March contract in the corn pit at 418.5, down 2.5. Related products, crude oil, $3.53 higher at this hour. Ethanol futures about 2/10 of a cent higher. And the RBOB is 4.8 lower in a penny. March soybean futures at 955.5, down 13 cents. The May at 957.75, 13.75 on a settlement price for Friday afternoon. July at 962 in the bean pit, down 14. August 950 down 14, and September 13.5 lower at 913.5. November beans at 892.5 down 8 cents. March bean meal at 297.70 down $7. The March oil 17 higher at $33 even, and the Feb live cattle at the CME group at $84.05, 30 cents. The loss. April down 50 at $87. February lean hogs are rather for April lean hogs at 63.75. 5 cents lower on the day. You're listening to the Closing Market Report. Here's what the outside markets look like at this hour. Crude oil is trading $3.53 a barrel higher at $37.51. April futures at $41.97, down 20 cents, though. Ethanol futures at $1.59.5, 2/10 of a cent higher. April there at $1.58.8, down 4 cents. Natural gas at $4.45.1, 3.4 lower. The RBOB gasoline at $1.21, down 4.8 of a cent. And heating oil at $1.30.7. This is diesel fuel, 1.4 lower. Propane futures just about 1/10 of a cent lower at 66.6 of a cent. And the gold futures at $941.50 an ounce, $7 lower. Dow Jones Industrial Average, 79.17, down 15.21. The U.S. dollar at 85.94 is up 0.02, and the CRB index at 213.28 is down 1.26 on the afternoon. Here's what the weather forecast for the two-state region looks like at this hour. From our own Mike Sola, he says tonight in northern Illinois, cloudy, snow. In southern Illinois, mostly cloudy with a chance of light rain. In central Illinois, cloudy with some snow, possibly mixed with rain at times. In Indiana, becoming cloudy. Snow arriving in northern and central locations. And light rain possible in the south. Lows will range from 24 in northwestern Illinois to 40 in the southern parts of Indiana. The extended forecast coming in tomorrow. In Illinois, some lingering showers of snow or rain in the east, then clearing. In Indiana, cloudy showers, snow in northern and central sections, and light rain in the south. Highs tomorrow in Indiana from around 35 in the north to 50 in the deeper parts of the south. You're listening to WILL AM 580.
Todd Gleason services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Agricultural programming is made possible by Lernard Seed Service, an independent dealer providing DeKalb and Asgro seed products, including Asgro's new Roundup Ready 2-yield soybeans. Lernard Seed Service provides services to help customers in East Central Illinois maximize profits. 217-497-2270.
Here on a Friday afternoon, we're joined on the closing mark report by Chuck Shelby at Risk Management Commodities Incorporated out of Lafayette, Indiana. Good afternoon to you, Chuck.
Good afternoon, Todd.
Hey, you guys have got a busy schedule this month, almost as busy as Dave out at the ag panels. You're there, I think, tonight, and you've got things going on all the time, don't you?
Yeah, this week and next week, we certainly have traveled around a lot, and my voice is kind of tending to run out this week after I've talked quite a bit this week, so... Hopefully it'll hold up for the show today.
Yeah, that starts at 7 o'clock tonight. Is it at the, where is it, the University Inn in Lafayette?
That was last night,
oh,
actually.
That's right. That was last night.
Where
are you headed this time around?
Pretty much it for today, but next week we'll be out over Illinois making several trips out through there in Indiana.
So. I'd forgotten that Dave was out last night. He's out so often, I was thinking it was this evening for some reason. How was the show last night?
Pretty good. We had a good small group, but we had a lot of questions and a good discussion together, so we had a good evening.
What did the farmers ask you about mostly?
Well, old crop corn. Concern there. There's still a lot of corn in farmers' hands, and they're wondering if we can get more of a rally as we head into spring. Certainly the basis is very good, Todd, but it doesn't seem to entice them to sell it right now.
And if they're holders, should they be holders is the question.
Well, it always is a good business, I think, is farmers to sell on a positive basis. One thing Brian Maple brought up last night, there's some deals out there. If you got a quantity of grain, you might talk to your processor and be surprised at what he might offer you for a quantity of corn. So it seems to be, again, farmers are more watching the futures market and hoping to get back up to that $4 level.
You think it will?
We're struggling, Todd. The thing we don't have this year that we've had in the past few years is the index fund buying. It's certainly not around. Today's close was a little bit discouraging. We've got a long weekend coming, but crude oil up sharply in front month anyway, and we still couldn't get much reaction out of corn.
Well, not much reaction out of corn. Crude oil up sharply, but still below $40. Do you think there's really much hinge between corn and crude at these price levels, at least with crude oil below 40 bucks, does it not hinge more once we get above that level?
Well, one thing's going on that we talked about last night was the price of gasoline at the pump is starting to climb up,
right,
even though crude's down. So that might help out the ethanol as much as anything. One other thing that we're looking for that might be a positive for corn, if the Secretary of Agriculture is rumored to be announcing at the annual conference the extension or expansion of the ethanol blend, that would be a good thing for corn if we could change the blend to 12% or 15%. That would really be a positive.
What's your best set of advice for producers on old crop?
Well, we like looking for good deals out there to move the crop. We do like selling on a good basis, and we would go ahead and look for opportunities to move that crop because if you got to get the corn moved before you go to the field, pretty soon it's going to be March and the time window is narrowing down. So we're willing on any pops here to go ahead on a good basis to move that old crop corn.
I know you've probably done some numbers of this. How do you feel about acre versus traditional? Are you going to try a little bit of both on your farm for the farm programs?
I think we're just going to stay with the old program, Todd, on our farms. The complexity and the new acres program for us, I think we're going to stick with the old program because one thing, once you switch to the new program, you're in it. So right now we still maintain some flexibility. I think we're going to sit back and watch and see how that program develops at least for 1 year on our farm.
Right, and farmers do get the fact that if they've got different units on their farm, they're capable of putting some units in and others not. At least we hope we can get that point across, and they can take a look at it. And you can always check the Farm Doc website. I wouldn't say whether it's good for your farm or not, but you can check the Farm Doc website and go through some of the numbers. Speaking of Farm Doc, you can go there and put your own crop insurance and get some premium figures and start to figure out how crop insurance looks for you. And I'll bet that you've been doing some of that too, haven't you, Chuck?
Yeah, we've been doing a lot of meetings, and the crop insurance has some real changes that I think are positive this year, Todd. Certainly the enterprise units and The complete open-ended downside of a CRC policy is wide open to the downside. So crop insurance bears a second look there if you haven't been using it. I think there's some positives there that guys might want to use, especially looks like beans is a pretty good program this year.
Well, speaking of beans, let's turn our attention to that marketplace. What are you seeing?
Well, discouraging again. It looks like the front end March wants to go down towards the 50-day moving average in the 940 area. A pretty weak close today. Another concerning thing to us is closing below $9 on a November bean contract. That kind of pushes us into some hedge modes next week. We really didn't want to see that happen. And if we don't get back above there Tuesday, we'll probably be looking at some hedging of 09 beans.
It looks like it settled on, the 50-day moving average today. So I guess that it found a little support there. Would you think that, I guess, when will we get back into trade? Not until Tuesday.
Correct. We had a long weekend.
It'll be a really long weekend. I would think everybody probably got out of whatever positions they were holding. And those guys who were on the floor are forced to do that if they're in the pit, if I remember correctly. So.
And it was a light volume day. We didn't have a lot of volume. There was also ideas of more rain in South America over the three-day holiday. So coming in here, Monday night, hopefully we can get a bounce going here. Hopefully we've cleaned the market up here and we can get something going to the positive side.
Are you thinking positive for beans in the coming year?
I like from a standpoint of beans, I think they do show some profitability still for many farmers. A lot of farmers struggling with the new crop corn price against profitability there. But beans, if you can grow a decent bean crop, we can still make some money at these levels, Todd. And going back in history and looking, there's not many times since the 60s that we've had beans $9 to $10 range. That's historically a pretty high price.
In fact, in your area, you grow a lot more beans than most areas or some areas of the upper Midwest. It seems to be a pretty good bean-growing area. Would you think that producers would be more likely to put bean acres in this year for your area in the Lafayette and Watsika area of Illinois?
I think it's more a soil type. As you get into Indiana and head further east towards Ohio, it just seems that we can do pretty much a good bean-corn rotation works better and get better bean yields. The Illinois soils, the heavier, darker soils, tend to be better for the guys with corn on corn. So I think when we look at the acreage mixture as we go into next year, as you go further east and you drop south and then as we go back to the west, those are areas I think that you're going to see the bean acres be attracted. In a good Illinois black soils, it's hard to beat corn on corn.
Yeah, I think I'll take those good Illinois black soils. They make for a good farm, and I know you have some good farms up there too. Thanks much for joining us today, Chuck. We appreciate it. Any final word?
Watch next week's opening on Tuesday. Hopefully we can get a direction turn, Todd, and get things back to the plus side.
You have a good weekend.
Thank you, Todd.
Chuck Shelby is with Risk Management Commodities out of Lafayette, Indiana. Joins us here on the Closing Mark Report on a Friday afternoon.
Agricultural programs are made possible by First Midwest Bank, serving Illinois' agricultural community with locations in Champaign, Danville, Galesburg, Morris, and McHenry. More information is available from Mike Morris in McHenry at 815-344-7213. First Midwest Bank, member FDIC, an equal housing lender.
If you'd like to hear what Chuck Shelby had to say again, you can always do that on our website. The address is WILLAG.org. If you can't get to the web, can't hear us on the radio, how about dialing this number, 217-333-3434. It's our mobile analyst portal, at least what we call our mobile analyst portal. You can get updated numbers and a little analysis there at 10:30 and 3:15 daily. Dave Dickey's here now. He'll take us through the ag news for the afternoon.
In agricultural news, the House Agriculture Committee approved a bill yesterday to allow federal futures regulators to temporarily suspend U.S. trading of naked credit default swaps during market turmoil. The bill also mandates the clearing of over-the-counter transactions through central clearinghouses unless granted an exemption by the Commodity Futures Trading Commission. The Federal Reserve would be barred from regulating clearinghouses. It also would give the CFTC, for the first time, the power to file criminal charges against market violators. USDA's Economic Research Service yesterday released projected figures that net farm income in 2009 is forecast at $71.2 billion, down $18.1 billion or 20% from the estimated $89.3 billion in 2008. USDA noted, however, that the number would still be 9% above the previous 10-year average. In summarizing the overall national farm income decline, the ERS stated the U.S. farm sector is perhaps more intertwined with the world economy than ever before. USDA Secretary Tom Vilsack expressed some frustration yesterday that negotiators on the conference report for the stimulus bill have shifted as much as $2 billion in spending for rural broadband access from USDA to the U.S. Department of Commerce. All told, the stimulus bill has close to $7 billion set aside for broadband internet services. France will maintain a ban on genetically modified corn from U.S. biotech giant Monsanto until the environmental risks are clarified. That comes after France's food watchdog said it had concluded that the genetically modified corn is safe, contradicting an earlier report that led to the French ban. The European Commission, the EU's executive arm, has called on France, as well as Austria, Greece, and Hungary, to lift their safeguard measures against EU-approved genetically modified crops. And that's a look at today's agricultural news.
Hey, thanks, Dave. Dave Dickey is Director of Agricultural Programming at WILL, Public Radio for the Farming World. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason, the host of the Closing Mark Report and Commodity Week. You can hear that program on many of these radio stations over the weekend or tonight on our website at willag.org. That's willag.org. It's our weekly look at what happened in the world of agricultural commodities. Scroll about halfway down the page and hit Commodity Week. Hey, by the way, we're trying to start a new farmer appreciation segment here on the Closing Market Report, and we'd like to thank you for farming on some milepost dates. Your first year, your 25th year, and every 5 years thereafter, and your last or retirement year. So about the time of your birthday, just send us your name, where you're from, including the county and your country if you happen to live outside the U.S., and how many years you've been farming. And we'll say thanks. The number to call is 217-333-0850 or email to willagstaff@illinois.edu. Speaking of Illinois, the U of I has released a brand new variety of apple. I'll have more on the Wine Crisp. It was 20 years in the making, and it solves two great big apple problems. This is a new late-ripening apple named Wine Crisp. It carries the VF gene for scab resistance, and it was developed over the past 20-plus years through classical breeding techniques, not genetic engineering. Licenses to propagate trees will be made available to nurseries through the University of Illinois. Being resistant to apple scab is a great big plus for growers, says University of Illinois plant geneticist Skylar Corbin. He's very proud of the Wine Crisp.
It has resistance to apple scab, which means that you could grow this apple, just like Juliet, with significantly reduced amount of chemical sprays, fungicides. Scab is the number one disease that you have to spray for 15 to 20 times a season. And so you do not have to do that.
It means a substantial savings for the apple grower, and because the Wine Crisp ripens about 2 weeks later than the industry standard Red Delicious, it extends the growing season and can be harvested all the way through the end of October. Corbin says it's good in cold storage, too, and that's another big plus, and that it can be kept for 8 to 9 months there. His research has been done in collaboration with breeders at Rutgers and Purdue universities. He says the original cross was made way back in 1989, and that there are good reasons for it to take so long to bring a new apple variety to to market?
It's because you want to test it in different locations. You want to observe it over a number of years. And then sometimes, of course, you're never sure. You know, for example, this one, I liked it the very first time, you know, I noticed it. And I noticed it over and over. But I was hesitant because of the fact that the finish is not this glossy finish.
The Wine Crisp has a flat rather than glossy finish to its deep red color. The original cross in the breeding process was done at Rutgers in 89. The seeds were grown into seedlings and inoculated with apple scab at Purdue. And those seedlings that demonstrated resistance to apple scab were split between the three universities as part of the Purdue-Rutgers-Illinois Cooperative Breeding Program. Because the University of Illinois made the Wine Crisp selection, U of I will be the primary licensing institution. For University of Illinois Extension, I'm Todd Gleason.
Agricultural programming is made possible by Risk Management Commodities, with offices in Chalmers and Lafayette, Indiana, and Hudsonville, Illinois. Risk Management Commodities provides commodities analysis and recommendations for business and agriculture throughout East Central Illinois and Western Indiana. 866-837-9027.
On this 13th day of February, Friday, you're listening to the Closing Market Report. Time to talk this afternoon about the cash grain market with Bruce Bostert. He's at the Ludlow Co-op Elevator Company up in Ludlow, Illinois. Bruce is the general manager of the co-op's 10 East Central Illinois locations. Good afternoon to you, Bruce.
Good afternoon.
Oh,
I'm
boy.
Trying to focus on it being Valentine's Day Eve rather than Friday the 13th here.
Well, it wasn't horrible for Friday the 13th. The markets, while they weren't great, they held up okay, I suppose. And gosh, the weather is just beautiful outside, and I suspect that'll have some impact on what's happening in the movement of grain.
It is a beautiful day out there, and exactly. We're seeing the barges are going to be starting to head north on the Mid-Miss out of St. Louis this next week. Sounds like they're planning on going at least as far north as Davenport. Maybe they'll try and even bust up a little bit higher towards Dubuque.
And what does that mean to the markets?
You've got a pent-up supply of grain that's been sitting in those river terminals waiting to load on barges, and that will be hitting the market. What we've seen in the fallout of that is some lower SIF numbers here. Barge freight's been going down, so the net value is about the same.
Does that mean river bids will go up too, though, as they empty out those elevators?
Oh, the river bids have been kind of washing. You've seen SIF down and freight down too, so those two kind of help each other out. They'll have some space, they'll be able to move it, but you're going to have more places that can load. You're going to have Illinois points and Mississippi points that can load, so that can put a little pressure at least on that initial surge.
And basis is holding up in your area, how?
In our area, basis is holding up pretty well. Train market, our nearby bid is up actually a couple cents from where we were a week ago. Beans are pretty much steady out here.
And your bids for the day?
We are at 356 on nearby corn into Paxton and 948 on beans.
Thanks much.
Thank you.
Bruce Bostert is the general manager of the Ludlow Co-op Elevator Company's 10 Central Illinois locations. Joining us this afternoon by phone from Ludlow, Illinois. In just 2 minutes, we'll take a complete look at the agricultural weather forecast. Steve Hilberg at the Midwestern Regional Climate Center that belongs to NOAA here on the Illinois State Water Survey at the U of I's office space will join us. Stay with us.
It's National Tortini Day. On this day in agricultural history in 1822, Jeremiah Bailey received a U.S. patent for the first practical grass mowing machine. It was horse-drawn, and the movement of one of its wheels turned gears to spin a vertical shaft with cutting blades. The machine could mow up to 10 acres a day, and it was featured in Mechanics Magazine in 1823. In 1851, George Brown Good was born. He was the editor of the Fisheries and Fisheries Industries of the United States, while deputy commissioner of the U.S. Commission of Fish and Fisheries. The study attempted to catalog the state of the American fisheries at the time. It described a significant part of the marine environment, with 532 etchings of marine mammals, fish, and shellfish, and it also illustrated fishing vessels, gear, methods, and processing. In 1910, William Shockley was born, an English-American engineer and teacher. He was a co-developer of the transistor, which ushered in the age of microelectronics. And in 1933, the House of Commons defeated a bill that would have prohibited the sale of alcohol in the United Kingdom. And that's this day in agricultural history.
Closing Market Report is made possible by AgriGold Hybrids, funding agricultural programming as an additional service to the many AgriGold customers in the AM 580 listening area. AgriGold, the corn specialists. More information is at agrigold.com or at 800-262-7333.
Time to take a look at what's been happening in the world of agricultural weather. Steve Hilberg at the Midwestern Regional Climate Center that belongs to NOAA and sets at the Illinois State Water Survey here on the Urbana-Champaign campus of the University of Illinois joins us this afternoon. Hi, Steve.
Good afternoon, Todd.
There are too many titles in that long.
Yeah, year. There is.
Well, that just means you're buried well into the government and governmental institution, I guess. But you still get to look out at great sunshine here in Champaign-Urbana this afternoon, don't you?
Yeah, it's actually a pretty nice day. We got temperatures in the 40s, low 40s generally, which is maybe about 8 degrees above normal for this time of year. So we're actually doing pretty nice. Clouds associated with the next system coming through here haven't moved into the eastern part of the state at least. So looks like we'll eke out a pretty good afternoon overall.
And then we turn to rain and snow across much of the Midwest this
evening. Yeah, there's going to be some precipitation. They've actually had some pretty good snow out in Nebraska and Iowa today. But by the time this system moves east into Illinois, it's going to weaken somewhat. And we'll have some precipitation tonight. Mostly all snow in the north, mix of rain and snow perhaps here in the central sections, changing the snow. And then this will happen overnight. So by tomorrow morning, it'll be largely over. There'll be some precipitation, probably lingering until 9 or 10 o'clock at the very latest, but most will be out of here tomorrow morning. And then with temperatures probably climbing at 2 or slightly above freezing tomorrow, even with cloudy skies, a lot of that snow will probably melt off any snow that we get, which won't be a lot. So not overall, not too bad.
So not much accumulation, should disappear quickly during the day.
How about the rest of the weekend? Overnight tonight, if somebody's out traveling late in the early morning hours, could be some travel issues because it probably will be slippery a little bit. But, yeah, we're probably not going to get more than about an inch of snow, if that.
And then Sunday and the rest of the week?
Well, it looks like we'll be a little bit cooler Sunday and Monday. And then with another system approaching us early in the week, we'll see a quick warm-up Tuesday probably ahead of this next system when it'll turn southerly for maybe 6 to 18 hours. Then another low-pressure system moves through here on Wednesday. And after that, it looks like we'll see some colder weather for the last half of the week. And by colder, I mean nearer to slightly below normal. We won't be running above, but in general, it won't be too bad. Skies should generally be fair, and it should be a generally quiet week after we get that next system through here.
Anything else that we need to be on the lookout for?
No, we got a lot of precipitation this past week, some really heavy rain down in south-central Illinois, up to an excess of 4 inches in places, which almost triples their February average, so we don't really need a whole lot more right now.
Okay, thanks much, Steve.
Okay, Todd.
You have a good weekend. Steve Hilberg is the director of the Midwestern Regional Climate Center at the Illinois State Water Survey. It belongs to NOAA and is located right here on the Urbana-Champaign campus of the University of Illinois. Be sure to tune in tomorrow if you get the opportunity for Commodity Week on many of these radio stations. Or you can listen to it tonight if you'd like on our website at willag.org. It's willag.org. Commodity Week is our weekly look at what happened in the world of commodity markets. Have a good weekend. Remember, President's Day is Monday. No markets, but we'll be back here during the closing market report with a rerun of this weekend's Commodity Week. I'm Todd Gleason.